In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Christ is in our midst. And thou, child, shall be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins. We celebrate today, brothers and sisters, the birth of St. John the Baptist, of the holy, glorious prophet, forerunner, and Baptist, John, as we call him in the church. He who prepared the way of the Lord. God had entered the world through the birth of Jesus Christ, bringing grace and mercy. St. John went before him, was a forerunner who ran ahead of the Lord as a herald of grace, a previewer of the gospel, a preparer for the grace of Christ. The coming of grace, of God's presence as gift, a revelation of God surpassing the law of the Jews. And this coming of grace required preparation. That was St. John's task. It required a messenger to go ahead and prepare human hearts. And what was his message? Repent. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. To repent is the preparation for grace. And repentance is the preparation for grace to this day and moment in the hearts and minds of each and every one of us. The penetration of the gospel into the world required repentance, a change of heart, a conversion of mind. It remains so today. The elder Paisius was asked about the need for such spiritual preparation, of necessary spiritual work each day to prepare us for the times of needs, for times of trouble and difficult times. He said, we must do the work of preparation. If one does not sow, how can one expect God to bless an abundant harvest of wheat? Man must sow, and according to what is sown, God will provide. And the elder said, even in the army, they say, be prepared. And someone asked, elder, how are we to prepare ourselves? When is someone prepared? The elder said, when the army is on alert, the soldiers are always ready, with their boots on, with weapons in hand, with ammunitions, waiting for the command to go into battle. The elder was asked, well, how long can one stay on the alert? And he answered, it depends. He said, a monk must always be prepared, and then he will never fear anything. What is there to fear? Death? Death will open the door to paradise, for under the slab of the tomb lies hidden the key to eternity. He continued, moreover, a monk is always in a state of repentance, no matter when he dies. His flight from the world and his monastic vows are a declaration of this. He repents and proceeds to do refined spiritual work. As the love for God and neighbor increases, so the love of and concern for self decreases. That's when what St. Paul writes comes into effect. Nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. Brothers and sisters, all of our spiritual life, worship, prayer, fasting, almsgiving, is to prepare the way of the Lord. To prepare the way of the Lord for us to receive Him inwardly. Fasting, whenever we do it, is a preparation for grace. We are more open to grace when we fast. And when that fasting is accompanied by prayer, sincere prayer and worship. That's why monks and nuns are always fasting at some level. But the message of St. John was repent. The message of Christ was repent. The message for us today is repent. Does that mean we're bad or evil? Not necessarily. Repent is a call to go deeper. Repent because we don't want to go deeper. We'd rather remain as we are. We'd rather remain on the surface. We don't want to do the necessary spiritual work, as the elder calls it. We don't want to become saints. Not if it's going to be hard. Not if it's going to require renewed spiritual effort. So there's a reason to repent. There's a reason to repent, that we just don't want to do it. To repent not because we're terrible, but because we're just mediocre. And we can't wait till next Lent to try and do better. We're called to be saints today and all year round. Quoting an introductory pamphlet on what Orthodox Christians believe about sanctification, it says, sanctification, becoming holy, is being set apart for God. It involves us in the process of being cleansed and made holy by Christ in the Holy Spirit. We are called to be saints and to grow into the likeness of God. Having been given the gift of the Holy Spirit, we actively participate in sanctification. We cooperate with God. We work together with Him that we may know Him, becoming by grace what He is by nature. A monastic is someone truly set apart for God. St. John was indeed a model and an example of the first monastic, or at least one of the first models of monastic life, as was his Old Testament prototype, the holy prophet Elias. Monasticism as the complete self-offering to God is at the heart of our Orthodox spiritual culture. Most of our spiritual lights shine forth from within the monastery. Most of our teachers learned their trade in the spiritual laboratory of the monastery. And yet, we're probably not too comfortable with the idea of it for our own guidance or even as an option for our children. Father John Oliver has written, "Our American culture, including many of us by extension, is unsympathetic to a Christianity that requires of all things real effort. It's unsympathetic to a Christianity that requires real effort." He continues, "Perhaps we in the church are uncomfortable with the idea of a community of Christians somewhere sharing our precepts but shunning our lifestyle. Monastics believe the way we do but don't live the way we do. And that comes as a challenge to us. Maybe even as a judgment. And as a call to repentance. Not to deny our marital blessing, but as a call to spiritual sobriety and faithfulness where we are, in this community of faith. And we may need to repent as well that we would not want to give our children to God in monasticism. That we don't want to lose a child to God. That we wouldn't mind if our children became saints as long as they have a great life in the world. But if we have to choose, we might rather they have just a great life in the world and take the chances on their salvation. So repent then. Repent because we don't believe in the value of a life of prayer and worship and of total work for God and of total service of others. We may give lip service to it, we don't really want it for those we love the most and care about the most, nor for ourselves. For what is a monastery? It is itself a family, a community of men or of women, where life is church, whose regular day-to-day job is church and prayer and serving the community, serving one's brothers, serving one's sisters, and providing a refuge for the world weary to come and recharge their spiritual batteries. That's so bad? Is that such a bad life? We've actually had 3 monastics from our community. Some of you may not be aware. But our poverty is that we have never really had any monastic presence or examples in this area. For many Orthodox throughout the world, there are monasteries close at hand, and pilgrimage is a common activity, is a common way of life. Even to go to a monastery on the weekend because it's within driving distance. Our epistle this morning from Romans tells us that while we were yet without strength, Christ died for us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. In other words, God called us, his whole human race, to himself, even when we lived as enemies of God. He still called us. And it is a reminder, brothers and sisters, that God loves us where we are. He loves us just where we are. But he also knows what we can be. He also knows what we can be. And the call to repentance is a call to what we can be. What we could become. What we ought to be. Our best and brightest and truest self. To our greater potential, to a higher calling. As the song goes, to lift us up where we belong. We belong with the apostles, prophets, and saints, and members of the household of God, and with the Holy Forerunner. Concluding with the famous words of the Holy Forerunner, in speaking of Christ, he said, "He must increase, and I must decrease." All that's good in us, that's God-given and grace-filled, must increase. My ego and my passion and all those things which actually dirty and cover my true personality, those things must decrease. What Christ wants for me in my life must increase. What I want for my life from my flesh, which is opposed to God, must decrease. Through the prayers of the holy prophet, forerunner, and Baptist John, may our Lord Jesus Christ, our God, have mercy on us and save us. Amen.